Hey, here's a hot take.
Oh, yeah?
I think Ghost in the Shell kind of sucks.
Oh, tell me more.
I've tried to watch that movie 3 times over 15 years in different life contexts. I've seen it on the big screen. I've watched it with the most sort of like open-minded attitude possible. I just think the philosophy is kind of sophomoric and the plot is way too thin to hang everything on just the imagery. And also Section 9 sucks and I hate them.
I think that makes sense. I think especially... I don't know, man. It's a little more pertinent in this day and age with the rise of AI taking over humanity's creativity in every sense of the way. I don't think Ghost in the Shell dares to criticize capitalism so much as it just criticizes technology. So I see your point. I do think...
It really thinks it's cool to be a super cop.
I think it is a little bit... It is a little bit cop-friendly, yeah. And it's a little bit dated. I don't think it's aged as well as its contemporary anime, other sci-fi anime influences. However, Ghost in the Shell standalone complex, that shit rips.
Oh yeah, that show's great.
The stage wants you dead. Make your way through the labyrinth of lies. Nancy Drew, labyrinth of lies.
Then in the back half of our show, we're recapping every episode of Severance to date.
Ah, man, I haven't seen it yet. What did the leprechaun say to help his substitute teacher after they skipped over Roger Daniels, who uses they-them pronouns in roll call? They're always after me, Lucky Charms! Hi, welcome to Light Gaming. This is the lighthearted...
That's what you were fucking working on for like 5 minutes?
This is the lighthearted video gaming podcast about light video games. Games that you can...
Sitting over there with like multiple tabs open, working at something on his keyboard now.
I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I am joined by my raging radial Raycon sponsored co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello.
Hello.
This is a podcast about games that you can digest reasonably within a week. That's what we've done. And today, we're talking Nancy Drew, Labyrinth of Lies, as decided in previous episodes, March Madness. And my God, I think we made the right choice.
Yeah, this one was all right.
This one was pretty, I don't know, this might be my favorite one so far.
Sure, I guess.
We played some real winners.
I have some problems with the gameplay.
Well, why don't you tell us more about some of the boring bits that I make you do with regards to Nancy Drew and Labyrinth of Lies.
Nancy Drew, Labyrinth of Lies. No, the. I kept saying the earlier, but it's not.
Oh.
Comes out in 2014. So it is one of, again, sort of like the later era Nancy Drew games, similar to Silent Spy and Shattered Medallion, like the ones that we've played before.
I think it came out right after Shattered Medallion.
Yes, that sounds right.
Step up.
Yeah, that sounds right. And it's based off of the Nancy Drew book, The Greek Symbol Mystery, which I did not have time to read for this week. And also, I believe, comes out of, I think, the first wave of wholly new material after they finished sort of like reworking all of the original run. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I read this one growing up either. I don't like know how closely this game hews to the plot of that book whatsoever. Okay. Possibly not very much, because the plot of this game is not
okay,
very much.
I'm in Greece now. And I was like, hell yes.
We're in Greece at a museum cultural center that has an amphitheater.
Yes.
That they have recently completed extensive renovations on.
Those are all over the place in Greece.
Yeah, like amphitheaters that have been turned into fully functional theater stages with enormous underground cavern complexes.
Not that part, but clearly. Yes, okay. Well, you kind of jumped ahead there a bit, but why don't we continue on with the summary here? Because what we've been asked to help curate this museum for its sort of a joint exhibit and theater opening night project. This lady, what was her name? Melina?
Melina.
Melina not from Mortal Kombat, not to be confused with the Melina from Mortal Kombat, has in fact hired us to help take care of some stuff while she goes to track down some missing jewelry from the shipment. It's either maybe possibly a shipping error or maybe artwork has been stolen. So it's up to us to investigate and also get the exhibit ready and also talk to the cast members of the show to see if they know anything about the missing artwork.
Yeah, it's us, it's a museum, and it's these four dipshits.
I love all of them equally. They're incredible. They're my favorite Nancy Drew characters to date.
Which just, I'm reading through the cast list here. It's really one of those games where it's like, Xenia Dukas, played by Julia Stockton.
Well, that...
Niobe Papadaki, played by Catherine Grant Suddy. Mm-hmm. Thanos Ganas, played by Beau Pritchard. Grigor Karakinos, played by Jeff Pierce.
Well, I mean, it's worth noting. I mean, okay, before we get too deep, we are... this is just going to be a full spoiler episode. Both of us have played, finished this game. If you haven't listened to our other Nancy Drew episodes, they end up being full spoilers. Forgot to mention that at the top. Mention it now. If you want to experience the rich, deep, intricate mystery of Nancy Drew Labyrinth of Lies, stop right now! Go play it! It's a light game. And then come back and listen. That being said, I fucking... I knew what was up from the jump, and I loved every second of it. I was like, okay.
I actually, this is one of, I think this game kind of like fucks up, as these games often do, the back third.
Sure.
But the setting, but the actual setup for this one is quite good, actually.
The setting is, like every single Nancy Drew game ever, the back third of the game is just overrife with puzzles that get worse and worse. Kind of better, but then worse. As the story tends to escalate, and it is always funny to imagine a very tense thing happening outside of the realm of Nancy Drew, and she's just stuck with these little fucking hexagons in the gates of hell.
Put these pomegranate seeds in this fucking grid.
That one I actually really liked, but
oh, it's a great puzzle.
It's just like such a weird time to do these intense puzzles as things sort of ramp up. Oh my god. Anyway, so. The game takes place in both a museum and a stage and this sort of elaborate production. And as Nancy Drew begins to explore and explore and explore and talk, more the people are getting antsier and antsier. Xenia, the director, is struggling with Niobe's inability to act, with the stage production just never going right. She's got a bunch of notes that we steal from her. Grigor is... immediately tries to have sex with us, which I respected.
Let's be friends. More than friends? No. Boyfriend at home? Yeah. Phew. That doesn't affect the average.
I mean, hey, we love to see a direct king. And then Thanos is just in his own world. Oh, God, I love this character. This fucking 21-year-old
gang member.
This broody ass Greek mafia dude who they try to make it overly like they try to do sort of the anti dude from Shadow Ranch, where there's this one overly hostile dude, mm-hmm. but the Nancy Drew games tend to overpaint them. No, this dude's just an actual
yeah. No, he killed some people.
He's a
Nancy
murderer.
Has several conversations with him about it.
Yeah, she's just
actually, what ended up happening with him for me was something I must have gotten like an order of events slightly wrong or something, because for a good chunk of the game, I could not find him anywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then at the very end, all of the sudden, all of the conversation options I think were supposed to have been available to me like through various other plot events sort of showed up all at once. I was just like asking him about stuff that had already happened like 3 hours ago in this like rapid fire interrogation.
That's just kind of how these games go sometimes. I will say, no, Thanos is great. Thanos is kind of, for me, the Patrick of this game, where, you know, men a few words and it's just like, what are you? What are you supposed to be? But also just, I was obsessed. I was obsessed with how, just like I was obsessed with Patrick. Like, I was trying to discern this fucking weirdo.
I like Niobe. I really liked her too. Very distressed in ways I find relatable.
I thought her arc, I thought discovering why she was there to do what she was doing, she was was an excellent sort of development. My favorite part of acting was actually the voice lines that you discover on the PC once you get the password, and you can listen in on all of their rehearsals, and it is the most real ass voice acting that has ever real ass voice acted in a Nancy Drew game ever, because it's just these four dudes like just like who are very obviously not actors. None of them, just constantly struggling to get through this stupid, terrible version of the Persephone and Hades.
The play is so bad. It's like the comedy of it all is that like they have hinged all of their fortune. This museum has hinged all of its fortunes on this opening night play, drawing enough of an audience to like make people check out the exhibits or whatever.
And this is a shitty, cheap troupe. Like you find logs about, oh, can we get this nice troupe? And then the board's like, no, we can get these untrustworthy motherfuckers to do it.
Which, in hindsight, actually, does that mean like was the board in on it? Was the board member one of the angel investors that Grigor was talking about?
Maybe. The names maybe would have popped up.
Or maybe they just like inserted themselves.
I feel like the names would have popped up when the Hardy Boys. Oh, the Hardy Boys are back.
Yes,
they would have investigated the board, and the names would have popped up as they would have made that connection pretty direct.
The first time you call the Hardy Boys, and they're like, Nancy, you got to be careful. All these people are bad news. Like this girl, she was a disgraced artist who did some forgeries, and that guy, he was in the mob and he killed people, and that other guy, he grew up in foster care.
This other girl, she's a Nepo baby, the worst of all. She's awful. So the game, what I loved, yes, about this game was that it was very evidently apparent that they were all in on this scheme.
It was
just like, yeah, the police didn't get anything. Like everyone was super cooperative, but like this, everyone got their stories all straight. I was like, oh man, this is great.
Everyone's time Nancy cards Drew are forged.
Nancy Drew, as far as I know, not done this where everyone is bad.
I don't recall this happening in like any of the other games either. Like I think it's pretty unusual at least for them to do a thing where like multiple characters are in on it.
And I loved the Greek theming of it. I thought this game did very little in terms of trying to inundate you with pointless trivia sometimes. So there were some times where you had to match the animals to the symbols and find the thing, like typical, but it wasn't nearly so bad as like Secret of Shadow Ranch's 10 question horse quiz or other knowledge checks like that.
This could feel a bit more like edutainment at times where it's like, and here are the parts of a Greek column.
I liked that there were parts, like there were things I genuinely didn't know, like proving provenance in an art, and then they would teach you about certain methods to prove things, to prove that certain things in the museum were not real. Then it didn't really make you, well, apart from when you actually had to go request the provenance and the spoiler-free walkthrough I was following to make it so that this game was more enjoyable than the other ones. Even they were just like, here's the fucking provenance ones. the walkthrough I had didn't solve the puzzles for you, except this one time where it was just like, it's just walking around. It's just a bunch of random bullshit walking around. And that is my biggest complaint with the gameplay of this, apart from certain puzzles, was that there was a little, it was the arena itself was just a little too big. You had to go, I think we had to click, 10 times to get from the museum to the amphitheater for pointlessly? There wasn't a use for any of those other 8 screens.
Well, and so much of this game is this weird, like, collection of quote-unquote sets they have underground that are,
rules.
Like,
that's so, it's so fucking funny. But and it's completely unaddressed.
There's lava! They have lava down there! Nancy can burn to death!
Yes, and it's funny every time. The scream she lets out when you just walk forward.
Are they going to lift the lava up to the stage for the lava scene?
That's for the heist. It's to keep everyone from out of the heist.
Okay.
And they spent they could have spent all that energy making the show halfway decent so that people wouldn't suspect there was a heist going on. But instead, they just made the River Styx and Tartarus and Asphodel. That is accessible to nobody.
How did you do with the staff, or the staff puzzle, with Karen's staff puzzle, by the way?
It was easy. What? It wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad?
It was just it was like the same thing as the animals puzzle.
I had a hard time with some of the faces, I think, but okay.
I don't know. I was like, well, two of them are girls, and this one's probably blonde. I don't know. But no, that wasn't the puzzle I want to complain about. Do we want to do best puzzle, worst puzzle?
Yeah, sure. That's a fun segment.
All right, so best puzzle for me. I would say, actually, it's kind of a tie. I liked the seeds hexagons. I liked sitting there, and I was able to actually deduce what was going on and actually play a little game of hexagon Minesweeper kind of with
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was really well made. I thought giving you a couple of grace failures was nice. I also really liked the little triangle puzzle with the triangles and the other triangles with peppers and the flowers or whatever and the... And those are nice, relaxing puzzles I really liked. What was your favorite puzzle?
Well, I'll say I'm a pomegranate. The pomegranate was probably like also my favorite, but I'll pick something different because
why not?
The pomegranate puzzle, it just needed the ability to do pencil marks, basically, which is like, you know, to mark out possibilities like, oh, this could be pink or brown. I think it would have helped it go faster if you could sort of like...
What is this, Animal Well?
Draft. It reminds me of a lot of like Sudoku style puzzles that I do. But anyway, okay, my other favorite puzzle... I like the Provenance stuff. The Provenance stuff was fun.
Oh, okay.
Like, I figured that stuff out on my own and just sort of like piecing the facts together and sort of like having to look at the different sources and then go out and check things and kind of like take the photos and identify stuff. Like that felt sort of like engaging and like it was kind of like having me do different stuff in the world and not just stare at a screen and press the button.
I like staring at a screen sometimes, except for when it comes to the worst puzzle, which it is the alphabet box. What the fuck is that? What is
okay,
that?
Okay.
When you said you figured the rules out, I spent like 30 minutes on this fucking thing and looked it up. And then I was just like, I don't know the logic. I'm looking at the clues in the game. I don't understand. Like, things are supposed to be in alphabetical order, but they're supposed to be in alphabetical order in every direction with certain letters being in certain columns and other... What the fuck?
Okay. Here's what's going on with this one. I will say, I solved this puzzle like a couple others at the end, not the pomegranate one. I did that one on my own. There were a few puzzles towards the end where what I would do is I'd look up what the solution looked like and I'd still put in the work to figure out how to get there.
I couldn't do it.
But knowing what the end state was, at least give me something to angle towards. With the alphabet box, what's happening is you have to draw a continuous chain of all the letters in the alphabet.
What?
But yeah, like it goes like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, if you trace it out.
What?
But the letters around the edges are like indexing which row or column that letter will appear
okay,
in.
That part I got.
And so you kind of have to like mentally overlap them to be like, okay, the A needs to go to B and B is indexed in this column. So what are the possible options there? But then if I know where the C has to be in this row, where can I put the B that will then give me access to a C that sits in that row? Like you can kind of chain it out.
Okay. And, well, I wish the game had said something.
Yeah, no, it's super confusing. The rules are terrible.
Yeah.
There's no way to like get what you're supposed to do from
no
the
clue.
Rules.
Yeah,
I only
awful.
Got there because I saw the solution and was like, oh, I see how you produce that.
Yes. What was your worst puzzle?
Fucking this octagon slider box.
I hated it at first, and then I liked it at the end. The nonagon slider box.
Nonagon slider box, yeah.
It's 10-sided,
You have to pair...
Oh, it's 10-sided decagon. What am I doing?
You have to pair up the first letter of a famous Greek person's name with an icon representing what they're good at, which have to be in two separate pie slices that are the same color corresponding to the person. And also, while moving tokens around this board, you cannot temporarily stash two icons from a different person in the same pie slice, which is the real kicker. The thing that makes it almost impossible to do the kind of like shuffling that you need to easily move stuff around is that like you can't put like, oh, what were some of the like
it was Aristotle? Yeah, it was like Aristotle and and what
Sappho was in there.
Sappho.
And like you can't like put the letter token for Sappho
with the
next
with
to the icon for Aristotle just to like keep
with
them next
the,
to each other for a bit.
Or the Hippocrates with the medicine icon you couldn't do. I thought that slider puzzle on its own was fine. The problem is that it occurred immediately after a prior slider puzzle. And so I was very tired of them, right?
Oh yeah, the gemstone.
The gemstone puzzle, which was also cool because it was a slider puzzle, but it was like two different ones and you could slide either side. And then you had to sandwich them on top of each other. I ended up just making it one slider puzzle anyway because I was like, well, I'll just leave this here and then make the other one fit it.
Well, then you get the third slider puzzle at the very end with like the lift the bridge up where you got to like rotate all those little tokens through that spinny thing.
That one I think I lucked out on. I got it pretty easy. I was like, okay, cool. But I could imagine I could imagine someone sitting on that thing forever.
I spent longer than I expected on it.
So some of the puzzles, again, in context, are really funny. I think it's really funny that after Nancy gets chained up, all you have to do is just spell out Hades on the chain, and then the chain breaks. Like, who made that?
I like that, like, one of the big sort of, like, what appears to be, like, a meta puzzle is you're going to have to, like, find a charcoal and a piece of paper to, like, get the rubbings throughout the underworld area.
Oh, that was fun.
And then it's just like, yeah, but it's like, and here are the Greek letters. And it's like,
Nancy has a phone. This is 2014. She didn't need to do all that.
Also, what if someone playing this is Greek and knows the letters? Like,
I did know the letters, yes, but I was like, okay, I understand what the game is trying to tell me to do, so I'm just going to do it anyway. Very cool. I mean, that's not for us, then. That's to teach people.
Yes, certainly. The target audience for this is a 13-year-old American girl.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, the Greek mythology girlies, they're the ones with the real power in the classroom. They're the ones who are...
I'm actually surprised like it took them this long to get to doing Greek stuff for that reason.
Listen, it's good. It's a good... this was a really good game. The music was great. I mean, it brings me back to St. George's Church, little Greek fest music. Very, very, very tropey, very fun.
I was going to ask about the music. Yeah.
It's great. It was very nostalgic.
I mean, like, the actual plot kind of, like...
I loved
it. Falls apart a little bit. Like,
oh, no, I disagree. I think it's really great.
Okay.
I think it's super great. This Nepo baby and this mafia member extort these two idiots who are in over their heads to help them pull off an art heist. Under the guise of a really, really cheap theater troupe.
Oh, no, to clarify, I think the story stuff is great. I think all that is awesome.
Oh.
I think the bit where Nancy Drew enters the equation is where it starts to kind of fall apart for me.
It starts to fall apart for them, too, I guess. But, okay, but I do want to point out at the end, right, as you take the lift up, that we get this certainly is my version, the first back shot of Nancy.
They don't show her very often.
And she's got that nasty... nasty circular braided ponytail. I was like, whoa, I didn't think she had that hairstyle. And she looks straight out of like Final Fantasy 14 with that one Elysian hairstyle. Like the lady in Shadowbringers, who was the first, whatever, the Sael, remember her? She was the sixth warrior of darkness that like made all the other warriors of darkness betray them.
She's not normally depicted that way. Normally, she gets kind of like a bob.
Or something. Yeah,
like,
I knew that too. I was like, confused. What? Why does she have that? Is this because is that Greek? I don't know.
Yeah, she's trying something new for
that
for...
That was a shock and a half.
She gets back and Beth is like, Nancy, what did you do to your hair in Greece?
It's so funny imagining her coming up the elevator facing away from the audience.
You can tell she's a real sleuth because she broke the one rule of performance, which is never turn your back to the audience.
Seriously. Oh, she's a real sleuth and a real rat. She's got some good goody two shoes. Cops are great lines in this too. She says, you know, if you got nothing, she says the classic, if you got nothing to hide, then why are you hiding things or whatever? What did she say? And then she,
Also when it's become super clear that Gregor is like deeply involved in this thing, and he's asking her for help and she's like, I'll do my best. And it's like, Nancy, we're pretty certain he's in the conspiracy also.
Like Nancy, and when it's very clear that like Niobe's not really the one at fault, she's like, I still have to report you to the authorities. It's like, there is something bigger going on here. Like Nancy is obviously in on it, but like...
Niobe, yeah.
Niobe is obviously in on it. I said Nancy. Maybe Nancy is too. But a couple of other lines I want to point out.
I had a couple in here too.
Okay, I'll go first with one. This is from Thanos to Niobe when they're having their spat. I never liked you. Give that some thought. All right, your turn.
I like the bit... I like the bit where Gregor is like... Hidden passageways are only exciting the first time you see them. Then they're just poorly advertised doors.
Gregor is kind of great. And here's another line. This one's actually not funny. This one I thought was really pertinent. Do not think of making art. The artists were not making art. They were creating what pleased their eyes. This is Niobe's take on being a total fraud.
That's a real Rickon quote. That's from Severance.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I also from Grigor's tablet. When you're reading through his, it's a very much like your standard sort of like incriminating journal in a game like this.
Tablet
where
that
like,
just keeps leaving out. And
exactly.
Like, I can't believe you're going through all my stuff. That's not part of the museum.
My favorite one though is the one that goes, "Messenger role is being compromised. How dare Thanos think he can just step in like that? I've locked away his access. He'll never think to arrange the tiles of the box and the jewelry display to show 7 gemstones in each square along the outside and no tile in the center when the left lid is flipped over to the right."
This game is just the right balance of tongue in cheek. I really, gosh, this was exactly what I wanted. This is exactly what I want out of Nancy Drew games. and I was completely thrilled. Oh, great. Yeah. Well, the ending of this game, we're kind of wrapping up everything, where everyone just gets to jail and Thanos, like, for the second time, just magically skinnies the way through the bars to get out.
He's got friends in the police.
Yeah, no, I think he just cinches his waist because he's such a skinny legend. And he gets out of the bars, and I hope he shows up again.
I do like how these games, like, do the sort, like, these more recent ones do the sort of, like, where are they now type thing at the end of, like, telling us what happened to every one of the characters. Did Shadow Ranch not do that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, like, that Shadow Ranch just kind of ends.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, what else, what other thoughts do you have about Nancy Drew before we move on? Or Labyrinth of Lies. Did you wish we had played, what was the other one? Was that the wolf? No. It was the Deserter Island? Oh, it was the island, yeah.
Other possible candidate for worst puzzle? Using the Wi-Fi router to recharge the signal on the...
I love that puzzle! It was so fun! It just went...
It was really fun to do. It wasn't really a puzzle.
No, it wasn't.
I don't think that you could, like...
That's the weirdest Wi-Fi router ever. But it was great. I really enjoyed it. Oh, my God. When this... Just before that... When Nancy gets captured, I forgot about the fucking... Yeah, the deaths in this game are so good, too. The boulder rolling down, falling in the lava. Not a death, but should have been the spear coming down from one of the judges. Anyway.
Anytime you get caught in the workshop and, oh, yeah. And Thanos is like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Icon. Loved it. Well, that's going to do it for our discussion on Nancy Drew, Labyrinth of Lies. Thumbs up. Thumbs up here. That was a good one. It's a real good one. I plowed through that on a Sunday afternoon. Real relaxing. Great time. All right, we're going to get to our regular sponsored segmento, and then we're going to go to our unsponsored segmento. That's right. That's our usual stuff. We're not changing the formula whatsoever today. I'm saying it as if we're changing the formula. We're really not.
Yeah, if we are, I'm not aware. Dead butt syndrome.
Dead butt syndrome?
Do you have it?
I do.
Like, that makes you like millions of Americans then. If you have dead butt syndrome.
I've been working on it, though. This past week, I incorporated into my leg days. I had two leg days this week, and I incorporated those like hip thrusts. Like, when you do the hip thrusts on the floor, so you like put your feet down kind of shoulder width apart, but then away, and then you like hip thrust, and you do that kind of late in it because you got to make sure your quads already worked out so that you're not just getting carried by your quads. You got to do that. And then you got to get up and like walk around a bit more. And I've noticed that my butt's a lot less dead this week, but go on.
It's good that you found like, you know, some bodyweight exercises to help you. What if
it sounded like there was a product coming.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sorry for stepping on it with a holistic and proven solution, but go ahead.
Honestly, because like one of the most brutal consequences of being a white collar worker is the recovery process. It can take a very long time to find the right recovery system to fit your workday or video game session intensity. Whether you choose a recovery shake, a set of supplements, or even a hot bath to relieve muscle soreness, sometimes it's just not enough.
I don't always have time to go to the club to get a recovery shake in. It's like a recovery shake my booty.
That's why you might need the Therabody Recovery Ass Pro.
Okay, so this is Thera. I'm kind of triggered by the Thera prefix because of that. What's her name? Elizabeth Holmes girl?
No, this is different pseudoscience.
Okay, great. No, I'm sorry. Did you just say pseudoscience?
No, real science.
Okay.
Therabody is a reputable company that makes products that people claim help them.
Oh, like which?
Like the Therabody Recovery Ass Pro, Gen 2.
Okay.
Therabody Recovery Ass Pro uses a pneumatic compression system that can be used anywhere and anytime. It's a tight wrap that you cinch around your ass, and it compresses, lifts, tucks, and exfoliates, and produces a revolutionary form of pressure massage that is 2 to 3 more times faster than any other compression product out there.
You'd be surprised how much dead skin shows up when you have dead butt syndrome.
Honestly, it's like giving you a whole new butt.
I got these stretch marks permanently, and they're like little pita pockets for dead skin. Sometimes you just kind of have to gotta express those, and it's like when the vet expresses dog glands. It's kind of that. It's got like a stringer coming out, but it's instead human. But it's not a gland. It's just kind of a spanakopita, but without the spinach in there. It's just a little bit of cheese coming out.
This is a great form of passive recovery, meaning that you can relax, kick back on the couch, play some Monster Hunter, and get all of the recovery benefits.
I can't wait to exfoliate and whatever else you said to my ass while I slap some tempered arc fields around with my water bow.
Key benefits include boosting circulation and lymphatic drainage, reducing delayed onset butt soreness, decrease swelling and cheek stiffness, and relieving sphincter fatigue.
Fantastic. Anything else?
It's available now from Therabody for $1,299.
And any other things it relieves?
And it's great after anal sex.
After anal sex? I don't think it is.
It's, you know right when you're done.
I'm going to stop you right there. I don't think great is the word I would use to describe
vacuum seal your
after anal sex.
Right afterwards, you would have vacuum seal your ass and subject to intense compression.
No, I don't. I absolutely do not. That stuff's got to get out.
What if a massage band could force it all the way back up instead?
No, I am not. That's not my bag, baby. If it's yours, then you should check out the Butt Gen Con 2.
Third Body Recovery Ass Pro.
Yes.
Gen 2.
Okay, sorry. I was thinking about Gen Con. That's coming up.
$1,299.
You'll not find me.
Check
there.
Out code Stormbuds at Therabody.com.
Why that one? That's our old show.
Yes.
Fuck off. Fuck, this code's expired. We did this all for nothing.
Wait, yeah, okay. I'm an
asshole.
Okay.
No, it's too late.
Don't do this the day this episode comes out. I'm going to send an email right now. I think by Friday, the code should be updated to Light Gaming, and you can get 26%. Off your Recovery Ass Pro.
Okay, sure. Okay, good luck. Yeah, try to hold in your excitement for a couple of days so that you can save some money on the butt grabber Generations United.
Therabody Recovery Ass Pro Gen 2. That complicated.
It's slightly complicated, but I'll do my best. It's okay. I'm just getting up in the years.
Massage guns do have real benefits, but Therabody is incredibly overrated. You do not need to spend that much money. You can get like a cheap one for about 10% as much. That's going to work just as well.
I mean, 10%?
Therabodies are expensive, dude.
Is this like $3,000?
Therabody sells massage guns for like $600. Yes, Therabody. You don't fucking know what Therabody
is? Why would I know about that? I don't pay attention to pseudoscience.
No, like, the actual like, massage gun stuff is like...
Oh my god!
Yeah, these fucking things, dude!
Well, the chairs are $3,000 for the cheap ones, Jesus. Alright.
Therabody makes good products and sells them for about 5 times what they should cost.
Oh well. This just looks like a power tool. I don't know what the hell is going on with this Friday the 13th mask, but... I don't think I'm going to be right.
No, actually, we should buy one of those.
We should buy one of those. Yeah, we'll bring back the I order you to relax segment. How's that?
Yeah.
How's that?
Just what I was thinking.
God, I
just bring one of those on you someday.
I don't think he will. Me, 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 me. Wah, ba, 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 ba. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat, toy boat.
My mother went to the store and she saw your mother there and she said, wow, your mother is not wearing a flattering dress. Empire waistline? I think not.
Your mother sent us to the store to get groceries, but after we checked out, we went to the little machines and got a green sticky hand and forgot the groceries at the store and went back and they were gone.
All right, I think that concludes our warm-ups. Now, you may be wondering, we're 30 minutes into this episode. Why are we doing warm-ups now? Well, that's because we're seasoned, professional, trained voice actors. And
no, we the fuck are not.
And we are going to do our best to recreate some iconic voice lines from video games in... And now, you may have heard the phrase, that's what she said. But this is the segment, how did she say it?
How did she say it?
Is that a Final Fantasy 14 quest?
No! I'm evolving!
Boy, format change. Okay.
This is the segment, How Did She Say It? I'm going to give us some lines. I've listened to them previously, but I'm going to try my best. But I'm going to make you guess as to how they sound, then I'm going to guess as to how they sound, and we're going to listen to it, and I'm going to put them in the episode. I've got 6 clips here because that's all I could find in a short amount of time. I wanted to do this segment, but didn't have the time to populate it. I think 6 will be fine because we spent way too long talking about Nancy Drew. Anyway, and we're going to see how we do. I'm going to see how you do. I'm really curious to see how you're going to read these lines. I mean, maybe I'll just exclude myself. Nah, fuck it. I want to do it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Throw me in, coach.
Okay, so yes. So we've got 6 voice lines, and then there's no points on the line. We're just going to see if we can get the vibes right. The first voice line is from Yuna in Final Fantasy II. Womp womp, I meant 10-2. Leave me alone. Womp womp. I'm just going to read it plain. The voice line is, I don't like your plan. It sucks. How do you think she reads that line? I don't like your plan. It sucks.
I don't like your plan. It sucks.
I from what I remember, it sounds like, I don't like your plan. It sucks. We're going to listen to it now.
I don't like your plan. It sucks.
That's so much.
That's better than either of us.
So much better. It's so much breathier and so good and so funny.
Like, I can't like do like a woman's voice without going kind of posh with it.
It sucks. All right. The next is not from a video game, technically. It's from a video game movie. This is Sindel's iconic line from the Mortal Kombat movie, "Too bad you will die." Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
All right. How does this line go? How does she say it?
Too bad you will die.
I think it's more like, "Too bad you will die." Let's see how it goes. And again, I have an advantage because I did have to look them up. If we had a podcast third, then I could have...
Mother, you're alive. Too bad you will die.
Look at that. Look at that metallic lavender lip. So good. Oh my God. This movie rules.
What, this is the first Mortal Kombat?
That's the first Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Movie is,
we should cover that in the show sometime.
So good. So good. Okay. Next is also from Mortal Kombat. This is a game I streamed a while ago. This is Nitara, voiced by Megan Fox from Mortal Kombat 1. The line is, "That blade's enchanted." What do you think she's? How do you think she says it? I'll give you
that. Blade's enchanted.
From what I remember, she's like, "That blade's enchanted."
Blade's enchanted.
So she gets into just a fight to the death with Ashara there. She gets nicked on the arm a little bit, and she's just like, "That blade's enchanted."
Real. That one feels like a failure of voice direction.
It's hard to know who's at fault here.
Was she told in the booth?
I don't know. We'll never know. But that blade is enchanted. This is a bit of a long one. This is Jill Valentine from Resident Evil 1, and she says, and this is right after the iconic Jill sandwich line. She says, "But Barry, didn't you say you were going to..." It's long. "But Barry, didn't you say you were going back to the dining room to do some research?" How do you think she says that?
"But Barry, didn't you say you were going back to the dining room to do some research?"
I think that's a really good guess. From what I remember, this one I'm not as familiar with, but it was like, "Barry, didn't you say you're going back to the dining room to do some research?"
Boy, if it sounds like that.
"But Barry, didn't you say you're going back to the dining room to do some research?"
Yeah, you pretty much got it.
"But Barry, didn't you say you're good back..." So this is a notoriously badly acted game called Chaos Wars, and this is the character, Karen, and she says, "Screaming, it came from the back alley." How do you think that line is read?
"Screaming, it came from the back alley."
Oh, a little bit of a rasp to it. I like it. I've heard this line only once. I'm trying to reproduce it. It's "screaming, that came from the back alley." It's really quiet from what I remember. Let's see how well we do it.
Screaming! It came from the back alley.
That is so that much is better than either of us.
Oh my god, I forgot.
That is some House of the Dead 2 delivery right there.
Screaming! It came from the back alley.
That is some like suffer like G did.
Now finally, for the grand finale, is a small girl in Night City who has the voice line, "Hey." How do you think this line goes?
Hey.
I'm not going to recreate this one. Because I know how it sounds, and I'm going to get... And the joke is going to be lost.
Hey!
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
Nope, nope. That's like a 12-year-old girl.
Hey! Cyberpunk's great.
I'm playing that this year. I'm doing it.
You got to do your Cyberpunk book report for a segment. You got to let me know when that is so I can stop making these stupid quizzes for a couple of weeks. Well, barring nothing else, that's going to do it for this episode of Light Gaming. You can check us out on our socials. We've got Light Gaming Podcast on Instagram, TikTok. We got a Discord link in the description there if you want to suggest games for us to play, segments for us to do, bridges for us to jump off of. Just kidding. I've already done them all. I'm an extreme bungee jump bridge person. You can't...
Every bridge in the country?
Every single bridge in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. You name it, I've jumped off of it safely.
Why you go like MIA for like random days every week is because you have to like go to the new bridges they've built and jump off those ones too?
Yeah. That's pretty much why I've been so busy and no other reason.
That explains this whole side of your life I was so confused about.
Well, we put out episodes of Light Gaming every Wednesday, and you can hopefully, if you want to stay in tune, you can subscribe to the RSS feed, leave a like and comment on whichever podcasting platform of choice, if it's allowed. Some of them I turned off. And thank you all so much for having listened to this wonderful episode of Labyrinth of Lies, Light Gaming, about Labyrinth of Lies, Nancy Drew, and a whole bunch of other stuff. I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I was, of course, joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the gamers of Light.
Good evening. Oh, geez. Oh, boy. Oh, gosh.
Uh-oh. What seems to be the matter, Alexander?
Well, you just told me I should intro something and then drop me into this intro with no start, so...
Yeah. Okay. Well...
Boy, it's really windy out.
That makes sense. We do live in the windy city.
Wasn't it really nice? We had that one night where it was like 70 degrees out, and then the next day it snowed?
Yeah, well, that's seems to be the trend. But it's nice again.
It's reasonably nice. I almost got
anything
blown...
Anything but the fucking weather.
Okay. There's a reason it's the go-to, man.
It sucks. Oh, my God.